Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith that you have given us in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we live in a world that is plagued by the devil. Our own sinful natures trip us up. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be our protector. It would be the light in our lives to follow you, to follow what is good, and to resist the ways of the devil. Lord, we particularly ask that you protect these young people who are going out into the world in this next stage in life. Lord, may your Spirit be their guide, and may they always turn their hearts and minds to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So each week during the school year, as part of being the preschool chaplain, I get to go over to our preschool, and I get to go to 9 classrooms, and I get to just talk to the kids about Jesus. And it is the highlight of my week. I truly love it. It's turned off now because it's summer, and I miss it already, and it's only been 1 week. So this past spring, I took forward this 1 Peter text, and I centered specifically on the part that talked about the devil being like a prowling lion looking for something to devour. Now, to young kids, the devil can seem like a cartoon character, something that's not real. I can't see the devil. I've heard he's a bad guy, so I'm just going to pretend that maybe he doesn't exist. I'll push him over in a corner somewhere, and maybe he'll just stay there and be disinterested in my life. But we know that based on the scriptures today, the devil is real, and the devil is active. He doesn't sit idly by in our lives. Now, to make this connection for the kids, I brought a video into their classroom. Kids are very visual. It's a very shortened version of it. But I played this video for them so they could see what a prowling lion was like. This made it tangible for the kids. And kids have terrible poker faces. So what they were feeling and thinking in that moment was just all over their faces. So their faces went very quickly from silly to serious. The video helped them see that a prowling lion is not their friend. He's not out for the best interest of that child. So then I kind of ramped it up a little bit and asked him this question. I said, what if I told you that somewhere here in the preschool, there's a lion prowling around the hallways? What would you do? How would you feel? I said, would you go to step out in the hallway and just walk out as usual and go to the playground? No, you would stick your head out the door and you'd look right and you'd look left and you'd be very, very quiet and you'd be careful. You wouldn't just go parading out there. And if you saw your friend going out there too, you'd say, hey, don't get that lion's attention. Don't go out there, you're going to get hurt. That's how you would act. The illustration stuck in their heads. They kind of got it at that point. It made it more real for them. Now, Robin asked me, she goes, did you really ask them that? What's wrong with you? But I covered up all their fear with a whole lot of Jesus talk afterwards so that they would go out in the hallways and be okay. Hopefully, there were no nightmares that night, but I don't know. Let's hope there weren't. But I love the imagery that Peter uses here. Describing the devil, he says, you're the adversary of the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking something to devour. Everyone sitting here understands what that is. You don't have to actually be in the physical presence of a lion to understand what a prowling lion is like. You've seen enough videos just like the one we saw there. As much as we would like to try to ignore the devil, pretend he's make-believe or some character, or push him over in the corner and assume he's not interested in our lives, the devil's real. The devil is wickedly active. He is very interested in our lives and what we are doing and who we're following. Otherwise, why would Peter have used such words as be sober-minded, be watchful? And why would he have compared the devil to a lion looking for something to kill if the devil was just a trivial thing? But here's the truth about the devil. As much as he is our wicked enemy, as much as he is a troublemaker and a problem in our lives, the devil still bows and submits to the reign of our Lord Jesus. Now, when I come across someone who says it better than I can, I like to use their words. So I'm going to point to Luther in how he described the devil. He said this about him. The devil baits and badgers us on all sides. His purpose is to make us hate, both the word and the works of God, to tear us away from faith, from hope, from love, to draw us into unbelief, false security, stubbornness. His goal is to drive us into despair, denial of God, and countless other terrible sins. They are traps and nets. They are real flaming darts that are venomously shot into our hearts by the devil. So when we put it that way, the devil is not inactive or disconnected from our lives. He's not something trivial. He's very much a wicked, vicious enemy looking to destroy us. So when we think about that reality, it begs the question, where in our lives are we giving the devil easy entry? Where in our lives have we grown lazy to his presence? Where in our lives have we made it easy for the devil to get a foothold and to tear us away from Jesus? When there's unresolved disputes between us and others, the devil finds easy entry. When there are past wounds from past sins that are unrepented and unforgiven, the devil lurks. When stress and fatigue are given full rein, the devil invades. When our hearts and our minds are exposed to damaging, sinful content, the devil finds a playground. When prayer is absent from our lives, the devil makes his move. When God's word remains just a dusty book on our shelves at home, the devil capitalizes. God gives us free will. We get to choose how we live. We get to choose how we spend our time, what we expose our minds to. We get to choose the words we speak and the actions we take. We have this beautiful privilege of free will. It's a blessing. But free will also provides a great opportunity for the devil to sneak in and pull us into darkness. The old adage, the devil made me do it. No. The devil doesn't make us do anything, but he absolutely tempts us. When we choose to be prideful and selfish and hateful, the devil rejoices. When we choose to be lazy and indifferent and disobedient to God, the devil celebrates. And believe this, the devil wants nothing more than to grab a believer like you or me and tug us back into darkness. He's not real concerned with the non-believer. Why would he be? They're already on his team. No, the devil is coming after those who follow Christ. That's the ones he wants to win back. But remember, the devil too submits and bows to the reign of our Lord Jesus. And God knows exactly what he's doing. God's fully aware of the mess he brings into our lives. He's given us means to fight back. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that Holy Spirit leads us to three things that give us the means to fight and resist: prayer, the word, the community of faith. Oh, how much the devil hates when we start praying, because he knows the amount of damage and harm it brings into his existence when we start praying. Because when we pray, we're going to God and we're admitting, God, you exist. God, you care about me. And God, you can actually do something about my situation. In prayer, we humble ourselves. We turn away from our sinful nature. We turn away from the devil. And we center our hearts and minds on the Lord. But have you ever noticed how the devil still kind of gets his shots in prayer? You ever felt the Holy Spirit prompting you to go pray, and then somewhere in the back of your mind, there's this little voice that says, you're too busy to stop and pray. Look at all you're responsible for and all the tasks you have to carry out today. Don't waste valuable time praying. We need prayer. Prayer is healing. Prayer recentered us. Prayer is necessary for fighting against the devil. Prayer connects us to our Lord Jesus, the one that the devil has to bow and submit to. The devil also hates when we get in God's word, when we open up the scriptures, our Bibles at home. He hates it. I'm going to point to Luther again about what he said about this. He said, nothing is so powerfully effective against the devil as to occupy ourselves with God's word, to speak about it, to meditate upon it. Without a doubt, you will offer no more powerful a weapon against the devil than to occupy yourself with God's word, speak it, sing it, think about it. This is what drives away the devil and puts him to flight, for he cannot bear to hear God's word. It's the power of God that burns the devil's house down and gives us strength and hope. I love that. I love that. Burns the devil's house down, bring it on. But why does God's word bring such comfort to us and such grief to the devil? Because God's word points to our baptism and all the promises that come through our baptism. God's word reminds us that in baptism, God has ripped us from the jaws of the devil and made us his very own. God's word reminds us that through our baptism, we are God's forgiven children. God's word reminds us through our baptism that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit leads the fight. The Holy Spirit enables us to resist. It's God's word that reminds us that the devil submits and bows to our Lord Jesus. Lastly, the devil hates when we do this. We gather here as a church family. The devil hates when we surround ourselves with other disciples. When I showed this video to the kids, something pretty beautiful happened in a couple of the classrooms. One of these kids got nervous. So as they're watching the video, they stuck their hand out and touched the arm of their friend next to them. They needed comforting. So what did that kid do? Put their hand on top of that kid's hand. It was this beautiful illustration of how we are supposed to function as the church. One of the key reasons God puts us together like this, this community, this family, is to walk with each other. This life is not easy. God has put you in a spot as his disciple to care for the person a couple pews over. And the person a couple pews over is in a prime spot to care for you. This life is difficult. The devil doesn't take days off. He never stops his attacks. We need to be walking together. We're far superior in strength and we're walking with one another when we're engaged in each other's lives. Another beautiful thing that happens about the community of faith is we can whisper to each other, hey, guess what? You know that punk devil? He submits to the reign of our Lord Jesus. He submits to God Almighty. So Peter closes this section of his letter with some words that I find a lot of confidence and encouragement from. He said, to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. To God, him, God, be power, authority, control, and reign forever and ever. Amen. God is God, Creator Almighty. He's in control. He's aware of everything. He's above everything. And he's constantly fighting for you against sin, darkness, and the devil. The devil's a daily problem. He's an enemy. He will be to our last breath. But know that he submits to Christ. He is not more powerful than our God. You can go forward in this life. You can step forward in this life knowing that the Lord God Almighty fights and leads the way for you, protects you, provides for you, keeps you clinging to the faith. Resist the devil. And here's the best part. The devil's going to get his. The devil is going to get his. We know Christ is coming back on that last day. And the devil's finally going to get what he's due. Revelation 20:10 points us to it. It says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil will see his final defeat. Believe it. Know it. Until that day comes, we cling to God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit that dwells within us gives us the ability to resist and fight. And we sink our full, complete hope in the Lord Jesus that there is a day coming where God is going to wipe away every tear and sin and the devil will be no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go about this life that you have given us as your disciples, strengthen us by your Spirit. Not a day goes by that we aren't tempted by sin. We aren't tempted to go back to sinful things that we know are wrong. Not a day goes by that the devil doesn't come and try to lead us away from you. But Lord, we know the devil submits to you. The devil is under your foot. So Lord, by your Spirit, may you strengthen us each day. Shield us against the attacks. Grant us your wisdom and strength, that we may honor you in our lives. We may keep our hearts and our minds fixed on the hope to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.